evening, people of Graaifontein Baptist Church. It's a real pleasure to be with you tonight again. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor Cornette, to come and bring God's word to you. It's a real pleasure to be with you, and thank you for allowing me to preach without a jacket. I didn't brought one with. Greetings from the Bible Institute of South Africa. You are a great friend of the college, and my principal have asked you, Dr. Simango, have asked to bring his greetings to you as well. I'm also bringing greetings from Scarborough Community Church, a new church plant. We are privileged to be involved there as well. And then we had a long conversation with Mornay, your previous pastor, on the phone just before we came here, and greetings from him, Molly, Calvin, and Samuel. So it's all going well with them. I'm sure they missed you all, but we were asked to bring greetings. And then Mornay, for me and Mark, pray that you will have a wonderful year. It's your 30th birthday coming up. May the Lord bless you. The text for tonight is Revelation chapter 2, first 7 verses. My topic tonight will be love, love that lasts. It's the letter to the church of Ephesus. Allow me to give a few words of introduction before we read. So we will read soon from Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Now, of course, God himself is the author of this great letter, but the human person behind it is a man that we know as the Apostle John. He's an older man now, and this is probably the last document in the New Testament that had been written, and the Lord have used him. Now, he wrote the Gospel of John as well. And it's quite interesting, if you go to the Gospel of John, he never used his name. He never called himself John. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. What a title, you know. Can you think of yourself calling yourself not Gideon or Cornette, but the one whom Jesus loved? Good evening, how are you? What is your name? Oh, I'm the one whom Jesus loved. That is John, you know. He was very conscious about... You know, when Jesus called him and his brother, he was called one of the sons of thunder, sons of Boanerges. And Jesus have touched his soul and changed him into a man that became known as a man of love. And now he's an older man, and we have this last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, which is also a letter. It's a letter that was supposed to be read aloud. And it starts off in chapter 1 with a great blessing. Verse 3, just note verse 3 before we go to chapter 2. It says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So just for us to read this letter tonight and hear it, practice it, we are blessed. So let us go now to chapter 2. Verse 1. Of course, this letter is coming from Jesus himself. Perhaps I must add as well, John himself was the pastor of this church. So as we read this church, remember John himself was the pastor, and he must have been encouraged to hear some of the words, but also shocked to hear some others. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, and who walks among the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. But I've tested those who call themselves apostles, and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And you as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We only read so far, and thank the Lord for his word. Let us just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a present God. Lord Jesus, that you are here with your church tonight, that you are never silent, that you speak, and that you are speaking to us right now through these words of this great letter. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we pray that you will give us understanding of this profound topic of love. Love that lasts, love between man and God, God and man. Will you not encourage us tonight again? Speak to us, convict and console us, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I will never forget many years ago when I was much younger. I was not yet married. I just met the lady of my life. And then I had to go off to the northern border of Namibia to work in a church there for 6 weeks. There were no WhatsApps, no emails. Letters only came on a Thursday. And every Thursday of those 6 weeks, I would go to the post office and there was nothing for me. Week one, week two, week three, four, five. And then on the 6 weeks, for some reason, I don't know why this lady did it, she gave me a shoebox with all Marl's letters. To this day, it's a mystery to me. There was all the letters she wrote in 6 weeks in a shoebox. And this is the Thursday, and the Saturday I would get onto a truck which will bring me back from Botswana to South Africa. Now you can imagine what was going inside of me. You know, of course I missed her, I read all these letters, all the pictures, and if you come to my office today, in my top drawer, I still have all those letters, because I was waiting so anxiously for it, to hear if she loved me or if she doesn't love me. And all these pictures, and of course she did love me. Here we are today, three children, three grandchildren. But you know what happened with a letter? A letter asks for a response, doesn't it? And this is exactly what happened here. At a much higher level, this is between God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and man. Not only man, to the church. He's writing a letter to his church. And this is the first church, the church in Ephesus. And this is a great church. This was a church that was in a city like Cape Town. There was a lot of wealth. There was a great amphitheater, so there was lots of sports. There was a great library. You can go and study there. This, of course, was a place full of idolatry. This was the place to be if you were a young person. But God had a message. Jesus had a message for the church. And my theme tonight is a love that lasts. And you will notice right in the beginning, Jesus says to the church, a love that lasts, toil, works. A church that loves will bear fruit. It will have words, it's tough, and it loves the truth. If you look with me to the text, it says there in verse 2, I know your works, your toil. In other words, love that lasts bears fruit. It works, hard work. I know your deeds, your hard work, it says. It's a church that is tough. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name. I'm sure if you as an eldership speaks out against gay marriages or abortion or even any evil that is being practiced in our times, that you will get letters, that people will speak up. I will not be surprised if I one day hear about a campaign against this church, people marching up and down the street here to close this place down. I will not be surprised. That is the kind of reaction that I think will happen against the church, like Kraaifontein Baptist Church. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. I know that you love truth. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. I know that. I can see that. I can see the tulip on your screen, on your doors. I know you're standing for the five solas. You are my people. You bear fruit. You are with me. But then it comes to this verse 4 and verse 5. You know, and I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of this pastor, this older man, sitting there on this island of Patmos, which is a penal island. He's suffering for Christ. He's suffering for the word that he preached. He's suffering for the witness of Jesus, whom he loves and whom loves he. And then he hears these words, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, repent. You see, a love that lasts does not only bear fruit of hard work and being tough and loving the truth. It is also a love that remembers and repents. I'll never forget, still a student, still unmarried, Marl, still writing letters to me. This time I'm in Johannesburg. I've never been there. I met the elder again. It's the December holidays. I need to work there in a church for 6 weeks. And they say to me, I don't even know what the elder's last name is. I've barely met the man. I don't even know his first name well. I just know his son's first name. And they say, let us quickly take you to one of our big malls. Now, I mean, I'm coming from Kroonstad, studied in Bloemfontein. What do I know about malls in Johannesburg? So there they park. I thought this is the only parking space that there is. Not knowing that this parking mall have parking places all around it at different levels. And they told me, in 2 hours' time, we'll meet you here. And 2 hours later, of course, I am so lost. I have no clue where I'm at. Again, no cell phones. I was completely lost. I could not remember the point from where I parted. My dear friends, this is what happens with us if we forget where we come from. If we forget how the Lord Jesus Christ at that first time have touched our souls, how we've bent our knees before Him and say, have mercy on me, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Remember, remember, repent. I want to rush and come to the end, the last point that John makes in this letter. He says, to the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You know, at the end of the book of John, this is the gospel now, you know what happens there. They've met Jesus now, it's after the resurrection. And there they are. Jesus met Simon Peter. We know that John is also there because eventually Simon will turn around and speak to Jesus about John. So John is there and Simon Peter is there. And you know what happened with Peter when Jesus, before he was crucified, he disowned Christ. So Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep, take care of my sheep. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him, the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, you know, I do wonder if there was not something that came back to Peter's mind here. You know, we read in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 7, that one day Jesus was meeting with Peter, it seems, or a man called Simon, in a home. You know, here's all the men, they are reclining around the table. They are going to have a meal. And you remember how Peter was. You know, he was always, you know, center of attraction, he had something to say. And of course, here comes in a sinful woman. And of course, everybody is staring at her, she had a history. And she's coming to Jesus with an alabaster. You know, and the Pharisees that were there thought to themselves, this is a sinner. How can Jesus allow this woman to touch his feet? You know, of course, she's pouring out, and she's crying, and she's wiping Jesus' feet. And then Jesus said to Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon said, yes, you know, speak to me, Lord. And then Jesus says to him, you know, I came to your house. You know, you didn't take care of me. You didn't wash my feet. But in verse 47 of Luke 7, he says, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. You know, I wonder if this didn't stay with him. This memory didn't come back. She loved much, for she was forgiven much. You know, Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, and I can use this in this congregation, you know who Spurgeon was, the great preacher. Spurgeon once preached from the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 7. And he says the following. He says, "We want to have a real Christ more fully preached, more fully loved by the church. We fail in our love because Christ is not real to us as he was in the early church. The early church did not preach much doctrine." This is what Spurgeon said to his church. "They preached Christ. That, and not to say of truths about Christ, it was Christ himself. His hands, his nails, his feet. Oh, for the Christ of Mary Magdalene. Then that Christ of the critical theologian. Give me the wounded body of divinity rather than the soundest system of theology." This is Spurgeon. "Give me the real Christ. Tell me about Christ. Tell me about the one who died on the cross. The one with real hands, real feet, a real face, with a real mother, Mary Magdalene. The one with the wounds, the nails in the hands." It takes us back to Luke. And this time the end of Luke. This is Luke chapter 23 now. There is Jesus on the cross, is he not? He's dying for our salvation. What greater love is there? And there are two men on either of his sides. They are talking. The one is blaspheming. And the other one says, you know, "Why are you talking like this? Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" The one says, "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then this man turned to Jesus and he says, "Jesus," he used his name, he says, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, this is Jesus, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the real Christ, you see. This is the Jesus that John is speaking about. This is the Jesus that loved John, that loved Peter, that loved this man on the cross who asked Jesus, "Jesus, remember me." My dear friends, this is the only way we can overcome. A love that lasts bears fruit. It is tough. It loves the truth. Preach good doctrine. Practice doctrine. A love that lasts, remember and repent. But a love that lasts overcomes. It overcomes. You know, it's a word that John used quite a lot, and I will read only two verses to you. "You, dear children," this is 1 John 4:4, "you, dear children, are from God and above, and have overcome them, because the one is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." 1 John 5:4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Everyone who born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And then the last one, 1 John 5:5. "Who is it overcomes the world? Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." The real Jesus. Dear people of Braaifontein Baptist Church, will we not go out again and bear fruit, continue to work hard, being tough, endure hardships, stand up for truth, hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, remember, repent, love Jesus, witness joyfully, but also a people like John that overcomes. people that takes heart, the Peter, the church like a Peter that can say, Lord, you know it all. You know what was Jesus' last words to Peter in John chapter 21? As they walk away, you know, Peter turning around saying, what about that one? What about John? You know what Jesus says to Peter? Peter, you follow me. Let us pray together. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you have loved us first. Thank you that you have loved us long before, O Lord. We have come to a place where we have recognized you as the Christ on the cross. And Lord Jesus, tonight we come again to you as the man on the cross, and we ask that you will remember us, that you will enable us to continue to love you as the real Christ, the real one who have died on the cross, the one whose real hands was penetrated by real nails hanging on that cross, calling out to your Father. Lord Jesus, that we will remember you are the one that Peter writes about. You yourself, not anybody else, not an angel. You yourself, Lord Jesus, have came to hang on a tree so that we can find out healing of our wounds. Lord Jesus, and we do pray like a Peter that we would be able to say again tonight, Lord, you know that we love you. And help us to follow you. And I pray for the elders of this church that they will always be known, first and foremost, for their love for you. I pray for the members of their church that they will be known as a people that love one another, but also have a love for the lost, but above all, a love for you. O dear Lord Jesus, we do pray that you will help us, O Lord, to stand together against darkness as a people that love. Love your word and love the Lord of the word. Jesus Christ. We pray this in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.